following the enterprise AI landscape, you will notice a subtle but powerful shift taking place. Just a few years ago, the conversation was dominated by sweeping headlines that promised full automation, AI takeovers, and the rapid obsolescence of traditional systems, and in some cases, even human roles. The excitement was real, but so was the fear, the friction, and the fallout from overly ambitious deployments that try to rip and replace existing systems. Hello everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Analytics Insight, where we break down the buzzwords, the breakthroughs, and the real stories driving technology innovation across enterprises today. And I'm your host, Priya Dialani. And of course, we have got a very timely and relevant theme to dive into, that is AI infusion versus AI replacement. Now, infusing AI is about being able to apply AI across your enterprise, drawing on predictions, automation, and optimization to improve your business decisions and outcomes. It is also about making AI part of your day-to-day operations as part of your business processing. Now, this isn't about disruption for the sake of it. It's about enhancement. It's about pragmatic innovation. And that's what we are exploring today. So let's welcome Mr. Rakesh Prasad, Senior Vice President, Strategy and Solutions at Innovay. Hi, Rakesh. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Great. It's a pleasure to have you with us on a podcast today, Rakesh. And of course, we are having a very interesting theme that we are going to talk today. And I haven't much heard about AI infusion, to be honest. And I'm really happy to, you know, uncover and unlock this buzzword probably with you today. But before, you know, we dive deep into it, we would like to know more about Innovay first. So if you could help us understand more about the organization, its specialization, it would be great.
No, thank you, Priya. And, you know, very excited to be on the podcast with you. And I think we all are in a situation where all of us are faced with this question about how Gen AI and AI are going to change the world and how are we ready for it, right? And I think the question is not whether it will change it or not. The question that we all are answering is when and how big will be the impact, right? Because the change is inevitable, right? And with that, in a way, I think we are very excited to be here right now because we started out this firm headquartered out of Atlanta 6 years back with a vision of helping our customers maximize their data and analytics investment. So 6 years back when we started, it was focused on data and analytics investment because even analytics at that time, our customers were struggling to drive maximum value out of it. And we saw the opportunity for a firm to be focused on not just talking about analytics, not just talking about use cases, but truly talking about how analytics can create meaningful business impact for our customers. And that's how the firm was kicked off. It's been a wonderful 6 years for us. We have grown over 40% year over year, scaled our delivery capabilities in US, Canada, Mexico, and India. And India became our significant hub with Bangalore being our India headquarter with locations in Kolkata, NCR, Pune, Hyderabad, and of course, all over the country, depending on where we can find the talent pool, right? And as a company, we kind of dug deep into focusing on three core areas. And I think the way we kind of put the firm together, it was, yes, we wanted to focus on, hey, how we can build the best data and analytical solutions for our customers and went deep into building expertise around data platforms, data strategy, analytical models, statistical models, data science. But then that was not enough for our vision, right? Because data and analytics platforms by itself don't drive outcome. We have to have a very deep understanding of how data and analytics gets embedded into a end-to-end business process. That's why we focused on process engineering, building out deep domain expertise in manufacturing, logistic, tech and telecom industry vertical, and then expanding into BFSI after we found our, I would say, some foundation. And then after looking at the process layer, we thought, you know what? There is also an experience layer where, you know, that is where the customers, our customers connect with their end customers and consumers, and understanding that experience layer in terms of how our customers, end users, B2B, B2C, how are they interacting was also critical. So we built the experience engineering layer, and that's how the three-layered service offering of Innovay came together, which was digital engineering covering data analytics and software engineering at the bottom, process engineering in the middle, and experience engineering on the top to truly be able to drive what I started with saying, meaningful business impact, leveraging data and analytics. And as the world has evolved, Priya, so quickly, the only thing that we had to change in our go-to-market for now is how do I deliver maximum impact leveraging AI capabilities, right? Because that's what everybody's talking about. So That's the summary of the firm. Very proud of what we've been able to build in the last 6 years and very excited about what the future has for us.
Definitely. We are excited too, Rakesh, and thank you for giving an insightful overview about the company. And of course, when you talk about these emerging technologies like AI, it isn't just about, talking about them, but of course, how you can, get maximum value out of it. And of course, with AI, something that really comes with a part and parcel is data and analytics, how you can maximize your value from analytics and how it can create a meaningful impact is really important. And, that's where Innova is helping companies and businesses across. Really glad to know about the company. Moving ahead, we would like to know more about you, Rakesh. I mean, you have a career spanning over 15 years and you have delivered consistent results in spearheading digital transformation programs, managing global teams, and even delivering business growth. So if you could tell us more about yourself, how has your journey been till date? And, what exactly is your role at Innova?
No, thank you, Priya. I would love to. On a lighter note, yeah, it's been 21 years. I would love to be six years younger. But yeah, it's been, life just goes by. Yeah, it was 15 when I started. Now it's 21, 6 years into Innova. But yeah, the journey. So personally, Priya, I was very, I would say very lucky to some extent to have joined a firm like Mindtree in way back in 2005 through campus, right? And Mindtree being a startup like Innova is at this time, just gave me multiple opportunities. I started my career, moved to Singapore. I was in APAC running a large commercial analytical solution for a leading asset management firm based out of Singapore for 18 months, delivered that program successfully, came back, then had almost 2 years stint in Europe, delivering a very complex analytical and data solution for a leading CPG firm, right? And you can imagine for somebody so fresh out of college, the first 5 years was like a, rapid fire roller coaster global experience for me, 2 years in APAC, spanning across almost 10 countries, next 2 years in Europe, spanning across almost 9 countries in Europe. And that kind of grounded really the essence of who I became as a, professional in my life, to say that at the end, technology will always be an enabler. Technology will always change fast. What helps my customers is how they are able to adopt whatever is out there very quickly into their business processes, right? And that shaped up my entire thinking. And from there on, I was very lucky to have worked on large-scale digital transformation projects, data analytics transformation projects for companies in Europe, Asia Pacific, US, and then grew up the value chain to now then lead strategic partners, strategic portfolio of accounts, and then also had experience working with an end customer, Colgate-Palmolive, for a couple of years, where I really learned how big enterprises change. And, it's very fascinating that as an outsider, you think the pace of change should be faster. But when you are inside an organization, you really realize it's hard to make those changes in a large firm, right? And that kind of just grounds your thinking as a solution provider to that customer or that enterprise, that it's not just always about the solution. It's about understanding how, when, and where the solution can be used and how does it create an impact, right? So 21 years of my journey across the globe, I think if I had to summarize, right, it has just given me a very good grounding that technology will always evolve and we'll have 10 different technologies tomorrow when we wake up. But what makes you successful as a professional, but also your solution more adaptable by your customers, is how well do you understand the challenges of your customer ecosystem and you're able to build a solution that will drive an outcome, right? And that's been my learning experience in 21 years. And that's what we're trying to do at the firm as well.
Totally. I completely agree with you, Rakesh, that, how successful your solution really depends on how effectively you're able to address the challenges your customers are facing. And of course, thank you for sharing your journey with us. It really shows how leadership today is as much about creating impact internally as it is about delivering value externally. And I'm glad we got that inside view of your work environment and how your team is driving a real change in the industry. Now, let's take a moment to unpack what we really mean by AI infusion. Now, we are talking about weaving AI into the fabric of existing systems and workflows and not bulldozing what's already working. I mean, it's a different between trying to build a smart city from scratch versus upgrading an already functioning city with intelligent traffic lights or automated utilities or AI
Absolutely.
infrastructure planning? So I would love to hear your take before we get into it, you know. So let's get some context. Like, why is AI infusion winning over AI replacement?
That's a great question, Priya. Beautiful question. I think the way I look at this is very simple, right? And if you look at the way this technology or this entire area of AI has come to being, right? It has really captured the imagination of all of us saying that, hey, there is truly a potential to transform the way we are doing our activities or our processes today. But the challenge that happens for everyone in this world to try and adopt it is, what is your, lack of better term, baggage or technical debt that you are carrying with you as an enterprise to then leverage what is new out there? And the way I distinguish is all the companies, and the way I want to split for our conversation also, right? If you look at the entire world and take the entire set of companies that exist in this entire world, right? And you kind of create a timeline of the companies born after the internet era and the companies born before the internet era, right? Which means the companies that were founded after 2003, 2004 type of the world, and companies who were founded before those, right? There is a huge gap on how each of these companies carry the technical debt. If you look at all the legacy companies which are before the internet era, right? They have huge investment in their core systems, which are truly part of their business process. And that is a huge, large subset of modern enterprises that we talk about, Fortune 500s that talk about, right? They're huge subset that are born before that internet era. And for companies that are born before the internet era, it is never going to be a rip and replace possibility. They cannot possibly go and reimagine the entire technical ecosystem of applications and say, hey, we'll build it inside out with AI first approach of building my core systems, right? That's not practically possible. For the companies that are newer, or which have started in the last 5 years, 10 years, yes, then they don't carry that much of technical debt. So they are more, I would say, quicker in adapting newer technologies. But when you talk about these older enterprise, they cannot do anything but focus on, hey, how do I infuse AI into my current processes to drive value, right? And I think that change is driving the highest adoption and highest value for my customers also today, right? It's very easy for us to come and say, you know what, if I had a clean slate, this is how I'll build a new enterprise, right? This is how I'll invest in new technologies. They will all have open ecosystem, open APIs, open data exchange, open data protocols, leverage the best of cloud, leverage platforms that have already pre-built AI solutions that can help me accelerate my business processes. But that is not the reality for most of my customers. They're still running with those traditional ERPs, traditional back office processing systems, traditional integration ecosystem, while they modernize some of their front end. So in a way, as a company, the way we are looking at it, and not just us, right? Everyone who's now in this phase of trying to drive maximum value with AI is, how can I look at your current business process? How can I look at your current applications that are critical, which are already there, and now build in an AI-driven agentic solution that allows you to accelerate outcome with a defined ROI, rather than saying you will have to go and change these three things or these two applications before you can start driving value? And that change in the mindset over the last, I would say, 6-8 months has truly driven a very high level of interest and adoption across large enterprise as well, right? And that is where AI infusion is critical. You can't just think about rip and replace and build with AI first approach in context, right? You have to kind of think a balance of both. And that's how I see the market also evolve.
Definitely. And I think you really highlighted some important points that how you can enhance and, you know, upgrade your current processes to drive value is really important. And I think that's going to drive more adoption in terms of AI infusion. And I think you've also made a very important distinction, the idea that AI doesn't have to be disruptive to be transformative. I mean, AI infusion allows organizations to work with what's already there, you know, rather than forcing a rip and replace approach that, you know, often leads to more friction than results. Yep. And I, with an incremental approach towards AI infusion, we'll feel that we'll come across more confidence across organizations. And I think we will see more AI infusion happening across a variety of functional areas. I mean, like, think about customer support, where an AI-powered agent can handle high-volume queries autonomously, but still escalate nuanced cases to human representatives. Or field service, where
Absolutely.
teams are tapping into AI co-pilots that deliver real-time, you know, recommendations on a job, or, you know, they save time, reduce errors. So it's kind of enhancing service quality. So I think these
Absolutely.
are smart and surgical infusions of AI. I mean, they are not replacing roles, they're upgrading them. I think they're giving teams more superpowers rather than pink slips. So how do you,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
yeah, how do you think AI and automation are changing operational workflows, they're transforming operational workflows, they're reducing time to market, and they're also enhancing predictive capabilities. So how do you think this combination of AI and automation, you know, will play an important role in the coming years ahead as well?
Now, that's a very interesting point, Priya, and I think all of us should look at business process in context of where and how AI can be an accelerator, an enabler for that, right? And you touched upon some very key areas, and let me kind of double click on a couple of them and give you real life examples of what we see in the market as well, right? So here we are talking about one of the largest asset management firms who have been traditionally, you know, focused on, they have been very high touch asset management firm, and their traditional high touch asset management firm, and they have always pride themselves on the fact that, you know what, we are one of the few asset management firms where you don't have to go and sit on the IVR queue for 20 minutes and get frustrated by press this button, press that button, and, you know, humans are always available, all that good stuff, right? That has been the core of them. And they want to still maintain that core and leverage AI, which is a very challenging thing for us to kind of think through, right? Because it's not the traditional thing. They're saying, hey, build me now a very nice AI-driven automated solution where humans are not at all needed. They're saying, you know what, build me AI solutions that can help my human beings. Now, instead of serving one customers, can the same person leveraging the technology serve five customers in parallel, right? And they're not thinking about, hey, I have to replace that person. They're thinking about, I have to increase the productivity of my person so that now they can manage five customers and provide the same personalized touch to those five person, but not need five support agents for that. And how do we leverage technology? So that change in context or change in mindset is very, very exciting. And everybody's thinking about this fact that, hey, we'll replace human beings. While that fear exists, a lot of people are talking about it, but the real context is, hey, how can I enable my people to deliver more for me leveraging technology, because my people are still my assets in some areas, right? So this asset management firm, their view was very exciting, and it's a very challenging view to say, hey, how can I build a solution that is less intrusive, does not need a big change, but comes in and supports my agent now to accelerate managing five people instead of one, right? That's one example which you touched upon where I think AI is doing phenomenal work for them, where we have been able to create a solution that allows them to do not just two chats, but five chat at a time, where because the AI agent is helping in parallel the human agent to understand what the customer is asking, to be able to prepare the response for what the customer is asking based on the history, to give the response to the agent already so that agent can validate and send it to customer one while it is working on customer two and customer three and customer four in parallel, right? So that's a phenomenal example of how we are driving, you know, value. One other area that you touched upon, which is very exciting, is in the support realm itself. Think about all the companies that are in the area of customer service, field service, technician support that are out there, right? Huge potential for AI to truly come in and accelerate the real value in terms of reducing the time it takes for someone to do a job on the field, right? Or how many times a technician has to go to the same job to do the same thing, because now AI supported solution can give him inputs very quickly. Similarly, if you look at in the financial services side, right? How do I change the entire onboarding process, right? From traditional OCR based technology, which I'm sure all of us talked a lot about 5-6 years back, OCR and RPA were supposed to go and change the way we do the entire loan processing and all those kind of invoice processing activities, which has a lot of PDFs, but they were not that successful because of the complications or complicated things that come with OCR or images, right? And with GenAI now, the entire process of managing the loan processing in terms of your ability to scan multiple documents of different formats, handwritten documents, and truly keep the accuracy high is phenomenal, right? So we are able to now build that infusion in a lot of our traditional BFS customers. Similarly, with one airline customer, we are infusing AI into the way they are doing their customer support and booking capabilities, right? For product engineering firm, thinking of AI in terms of legacy modernization and app development, right? So all of these use cases now that I'm talking about have become more relevant because the technology now works in tandem and side by side to a human agent, driving the productivity of human agents significantly higher rather than saying, hey, I will just take over these five tasks and there is no human agent needed, right? That change in mindset is amazing. And that's where we are seeing the significant impact for our customers.
Definitely, that's a great perspective that you shared. And I think, you know, it's interesting to see how this isn't just a technology shift, it's a mindset shift that you clearly mentioned. And it requires teams across departments, whether it's operation, product, IT, you know, to work together in new ways, which is guided by technology, data, and automation. And those companies that get that alignment right are the ones that will lead the market. So really great thoughts here, and thank you for breaking that down so clearly. However, I think many of the success stories that we are hearing today don't come from grand or expensive AI overhauls. They come from very small, measurable wins.
Yeah.
And, you know, smart AI infusions that solve specific pain points. You know, whether it's just optimizing invoice processing in finance or streamlining inventory management in retail. So these incremental gains, you know, they build momentum over a period of time and they demonstrate ROI as well. And more importantly, I think they build confidence across the enterprise. So can you share some real world examples as to how Innovay has helped organizations, you know, navigate digital transformation and probably, you know, deploy AI infusion at scale?
No, this is a very great question, right? And Bria, I think the change to this effect has started happening. If I were to kind of see, I would love to say that, you know, the change happened now and we were part of the change, right? But, you know, it's very interesting if you go and look at the history and how things have evolved, right? The change in mindset of saying, hey, I need a ROI-driven approach to my investment, in my mind, happened at least 10, 12 years ago when cloud became a reality for all of us. And everybody truly saw the potential of saying, you know what, I don't have to go and put in $1 million and then figure out how am I going to make money off the $1 million, because the world had changed. You could do things, pay as you go, right? So I truly believe that was the starting point of this thought process, saying that, you know, you should look at ROI, you should look at incremental values, and you should build on top of it, right? And with data analytics and AI, this whole mindset has accelerated very quickly with our enterprise customers, because now they also see the value of saying, hey, instead of me going and signing up a big transformation deal, which is going to be 5 year over, you know, 5 year deal where I'll completely change my ecosystem, those deals don't work anymore, because it's very, very hard for anybody to maintain a sustained ROI over a 5 year window and really go back and say, you know what, yes, we delivered value. What works is in today's world for you to think of, it's not to say that you really want to build a vision, but you want to build incremental steps, because you don't really, if you don't have a vision of where you want to go or what impact you want to create, then your incremental steps may not line up properly, right? I generally give people a very crude example to kind of illustrate my point, which is to say that when you think of a bridge that gets built, a suspension bridge, right? A huge suspension bridge across the cliff. I think one recently got built in India, in Jammu and Kashmir, right? One of our biggest suspension bridge, right? And when you start a suspension bridge, it's not that they build very small, small parts of the bridge very slowly. And eventually all of it finally comes and connects in the middle. Now, that is the beauty of engineering, right? And that is how you're, because if you had taken one misstep of misalignment somewhere, your bridge will never come together and the entire effort that you have built is wasted. So the way you have to think of your enterprise processes and the way you have to think of transformation in today's world, they say there has to be a vision of where you want to go. And then you have to take the right incremental steps towards the direction. And I think organizations that get it right from that thought process then start building on top of it. And I'll just take a couple of like examples of how we have enabled this for some of our customers, both in manufacturing space, telecom space, right? Engineering space. So this is one of our telecom customers that we have been working, right? So their vision was very grand, right? And this journey started with us, I think, we are in 2025, right? So 2022. 2022 March is where, so this was a traditional, you know, customer support business RFP that had been floated, right? And Inove was one of the players in the, you know, customer support, and this telecom provider had all the big guys of customer support come in, right? And what we challenged on was, if I had gone head on and said, you know what, hey, we'll take customer support and deliver it cheaper than everybody else. Everybody was talking about it. What we talked about at that part 3 years back was, hey, we think of this customer support, because you call it premier tech support, as one of the fundamental core of your business. And the way Innovable is going to approach it is, while we'll take over this, take the cost out for you, the cost is not just to provide you, you know, value back or money back. We will start investing in building a data platform for you, where we will ingest all the data, all the phone calls that our customer agents are having, generate insights for you, because we want to leverage those insights not only to help you cross-sell and upsell, but also to now identify which are your chronic customers that keep calling regularly, so that we can have a better resolution of problem for chronic customers and start driving that value for you. And then incrementally, we want to build solutions. See, 3 years back, nobody knew about agentic solutions. So it'd be very foolish for me to say that we sold agentic solution to them 3 years back. No, we sold them a vision of a data and analytics platform that can be part of their traditional customer support and continuously transform it and build that foundation where it led us to last year be able to create agentic solution that is doing auto triage for a lot of their calls and driving further resolutions faster for them. And the operations have expanded significantly. And we have, if you look at it, reduced year over year their per call operational cost, which is such a key metric for them. So if they, for example, if they were paying me $2.50 per call, you know, in 2022, today they are paying less than $2 to me per call. With their volumes have increased, the number of customers have increased, we continue to improve their NPS. So all their business metrics are going up, where their cost per call is going down based on how Inove had thought about the foundation of data analytics and today agentic solution, right? That is a real life example of how, if you think right about a vision, you can build incremental steps and provide incremental value to the customers. I hope that makes sense as an example. So
yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, in the examples, what I really liked is, you know, the balance, leveraging AI to amplify human expertise and not replace it. And that's exactly the pragmatic mindset businesses need today to make, you know, the transformation stick. And of course, you know, I really liked your point that you really have to have a vision as to where you have to go and then take incremental steps to go there. So I think when you talk about, you know, deploying technology, it's about unlocking actual measurable business outcomes. And, you know, I think we all have been talking AI infusion in theory, but I think thank you for sharing those examples. I think you kind of understand how it can tangibly drive growth, agility, better decision making, and much more as per your business specialization or industry. Now, of course, when you're talking about AI, we have, you know, seen the visible applications with the likes of Siri, Alexa, and they're getting increasingly integral part of our daily lives. And the buzz around Gen AI, you know, driven by the simplicity for creating high quality text, graphics, you know, in just a matter of has taken over the world. And of course, certainly the interest of businesses as well. However, I was just reading this survey and I came across a survey by Forbes said that almost 97% business owners believe that ChatGPT will help their business. So when we are trying to adopt any sort of, you know, technology or a solution, I think it's really important that businesses need or have a very crystal clear understanding of adopting AI and the challenges that are associated with it. So when you're talking about AI infusion, what are some of the challenges do you think organizations can face while adopting AI infusion and how you can overcome them? And also, how do you see the future of AI infusion in the years to come?
A brilliant question, Priya, right? One of the biggest, I would break this the challenges into three categories, right? And I will tell you, these categories will sound as beaten down categories as you have heard for the last 5, 10, 20 years of technology transformation, right? But the reality is these still make sense. You just have to look at it in a different lens, right? So from an AI infusion and AI adoption standpoint, one of the biggest, I would say, the foremost thing that our customers have to think about is the change and productionization of an AI infusion, because that is the one big thing that gets pushed out till the end by our customers and sometimes by us also, right? It's not as a customer, us as a solution partner in the, I would say, in the excitement of winning a deal or in excitement of winning a business and in excitement of doing, you know, something great. We at times invariably ignore the fact that, you know what, how will this actually look like in a real life scenario if I do this, right? And what is the change management required for that? But I think one thing that we all as a solution partners to our customers and our customers on their own, that is the first thing that they have to think about when they talk about any AI-driven infusion in a business process, is how is the change management and how is the adoption going to look like? And how am I going to enable that, right? It could be in a very it could be very easy for some changes. It could be very difficult for some changes. For example, if it is a very simple solution which can have a high impact on, say, invoice processing or ERP automation or, you know, invoice audit or order creation, then you may not need a huge change management, but you still need an enablement in terms of, hey, you know what, where is the human in the loop going to come in? What do you expect out of the human in the loop to do and how they are supposed to be ready and validate what they're getting? Because at the end, there is a human in the loops and they are supposed to be comfortable about it. So first biggest hurdle of any big impact and big meaningful change is the change management adoption that we have to think about. That is one. The second big challenge that we saw with our customers when we started working on early on this, and now we have, I think, a very dedicated approach towards it, is also the technology readiness in context of AI infusion, right? Because the moment you talk about AI infusion, it is not just about, hey, I built a very nice Gen AI solution, or I built a very nice analytical model which works with a Gen AI solution and kind of take intelligent actions. You have to really think about how these actions are actually going to get integrated into the current application landscape that supports the process. Because if you don't have a point of view there and you have not made it seamless for the applications to consume the insight that is coming out of the actions that is coming out of the agentic solution, your adoption is going to fail and it is not going to drive value. For example, I'll just illustrate with this discussion that we are having and the solution that we are doing. This is a pricing solution, right? And it's a dynamic pricing solution that we have built where agentic solution truly works for a logistic partner, where it can dynamically price the load based on how the market is evolving for spot market and truckload business, right? Now, the challenge that I have is, yes, this model and this agent is perfect, but unless it integrates with the order management system of my logistic company real time, this impact is not going to take place. And I need to really understand how I can do that integration very quickly. Because a lot of times these applications where these processes need to be executed may still be a little older stack. They may not all have API-based communication. They may not really integrate very well. You may think about a traditional RPA to do that, or you may have some systems that still are file-based. So you have to think about those application readiness to infuse AI as a step two. And the third step is data readiness to infuse AI. It is very easy to build a test model. It is very hard to scale it in production. Your ability to identify those early on and say, you know what, for us to truly create that impact, this data set at this level, at this frequency is very critical for my agents to keep making those decisions correctly, have to be thought through and planned through, right? So those are the three, I think, key areas for us to look at it in terms of a change management and, you know, the, you know, ecosystem readiness, the application readiness, and the data readiness in context of driving higher AI infusion into your business process.
Right. Definitely. And I think what's clear is that we are in the middle of a recalibration. I think enterprises are becoming more discerning, more strategic, and more aligned in how they want to roll out AI. Now, the notion that you need to tear everything down to embrace AI is fading, and in its place is something far more sustainable, a belief that intelligence can be layered, embedded, and scaled without disruption, without waste, and without fear. Thank you so much, Rakesh, for being on the podcast today and sharing your insights and helping us understand that by understanding the potential of AI, as well as the challenges involved in its implementation, it's really important that organizations adopt a very strategic and a human-centered approach. Of course, not forgetting the ethical side of AI, I think organization can harness the power of AI, infuse AI effectively, improve efficiency, and of course, achieve sustainable success in the digital age. Thank you so much for your time and effort. It was lovely chatting with you, Rakesh.
No, thank you, Priya. Thank you, team. Pleasure talking to you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. So this is for our listeners. Thank you for tuning in today's episode. I hoped you gain a lot of insights around AI infusion and what's the myth around AI replacement and what you should be really focusing on. Until then, you can view all our previous podcast episodes on Spotify and other leading platforms and stay tuned for our upcoming ones. Thank you so much.